Hello and welcome to the Two Dyspraxics. I'm Matthew Munson.
And I'm Barbara Neal.
Today we are going to talk about the C word. And by the C word, I mean, I don't think of it as the C word actually, because I love celebrating Christmas. I'm really into Christmas. I adore it. So, but you're a little bit different, are you, Matthew? I know you used to be, but are you still a bit?
I must admit, I'm not. Generally speaking, I'm not that bothered about it, really, to be honest. Except that I recognise seeing it through a child's eyes now that I'm a father, and I know you've been a mum for a lot longer than I've been a dad, but you know, I've been a dad for what, 2.5, 3 years. I've now become more of a, if I say, fan of Christmas. I can see the beauty of it because I'm seeing it through a child's eyes. And it's made me kind of realise that there is a big side of it for a child, and that's lovely, you know. If it was just me and nobody else to worry about, well, I said at a point where I wouldn't put up decorations or anything like that. Of course I wouldn't. I don't think I would. But, yeah, seeing the beauty of it from Brian, who is phenomenally excited about it, like all 10-year-old Jordan probably are, yeah, I can be taken along for the ride. Put it that way.
Right, OK, yeah, from your own point of view, I think you certainly were a miserable old tow rag at Christmas.
Yeah, I never decorated any home that I lived in as an adult, except if I lived with somebody and they wanted to do it, then that's fine. I completely respected their point of view on that. But if it was down to me, the answer was no. And, of course, we've talked about that. We've joked about it on our
videos. Distinctly remember you wearing one of those bar humbug hats. I had all the Christmas Eve.
And I'm wearing again.
But I just love it because I'm not going to hit you with a fact that you may not know about me, but not right at this moment. I'll just keep you intrigued for a while, and maybe we can discuss it on a future podcast. But I love Christmas. We'll leave it at that. So we've finally got round to getting the tree up and the decorations and things up. I think really what we want to talk about, and I'm digressing like mad, and I know I usually do that, is Christmas for dyspraxics. So it's about the planning and all that sort of thing, really, you know, how we cope.
I could imagine we'd probably taken it from different angles, because I don't ever... I've never hosted Christmas at home before. I always go to my family, like to parents or whatever. So Christmas Day isn't, I don't have to organise a big Christmas lunch or anything like that. You know, I mean, I organise like little things along the way for me and my son, but I don't have to do the Christmas lunch, anything of that nature. Whereas, I don't know, do you have to do that? Is that
something? Yes. And I say yes kind of tentatively because I live in the same house with my mum, who, I mean, she is as independent as she can be, obviously. And but because we have radically different eating, the word disorders come to mind, but that it shouldn't. And I'm not making light of that. But we have dietary habits.
Your mum's not vegan, is she?
She's not vegan, no. And so, but I am. I've been vegan now for 6.5 years. So I've had to find options. Before that, I was a vegetarian for 37 years, so that obviously has a bearing on what I have for my Christmas dinner. Yeah. And I don't, in all honesty, particularly enjoy a roast. I don't do a Sunday roast every week. My mum does. You know, she's habitually had a Sunday roast.
Yeah.
But I don't, and I don't necessarily enjoy it very much. But having it once or maybe twice a year, I love it, and I really, really enjoy it. So, So it's not even a challenge anymore, really, to be a vegan at Christmas. It's just got so easy over the years, I think, the recent years.
Do you find it easy to plan for that kind of thing? Or does the fact that you share the planning with your mum, does that make it easier, worse?
It doesn't make it worse and easier, I don't know, to be honest with you, because, I just don't know, but... I think as far as the meal planning is concerned, I mean, this year we're going to my son and daughter-in-law. So on Boxing Day, that is. Okay. The first day we're having here. But son number three, Richard, will be in Norwich with his girlfriend and her mum on Christmas Day. And they're coming back, or he's coming back just after Christmas. I don't know if his girlfriend's coming with him or not, but he's coming home just after. And son number one, Rob, and his partner will be spending Christmas Day at home. And son number two, Jim, and his family, you know, they've got children. They've got three children, so it's going to be mayhem in their house, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think it's different, isn't it? Slightly when you have children, and obviously you can speak as a mum of three boys, but it is in many ways easier to kind of just be at home for Christmas when you've got little kids, especially multiple little kids running around, because it just gets a bit chaotic, I think, after all, doesn't it?
Oh, it's just so nice. And the things around, I mean, it's not just planning the food, which is not really a massive issue, although we've got very different dietary habits. This year, on Christmas Day, there'll just be myself, my mum, and my partner, Mark. He'll be here as well. And he's a vegetarian, but he has a health condition, which means that he has certain dietary requirements as well, as well as being vegetarian. So that can be something of an issue, but we've got round it. You know, we've got the food is planned, that's sorted. I think really, as a dyspraxic person, it makes sense to just think about these things well in advance. And I tend to, anything that's not perishable, I'll get in advance, so it doesn't come as one massive great hiccup. And oh no, I've only got like 2 days to get everything in. So, and I do that with my Christmas shopping as well, because as far as present buying is concerned, I've been known to buy a Christmas present in July. And that was a few years ago, because I saw a T-shirt which was Jim to a T. It was so, so him. I had to buy it. So I bought it, put it aside for a few months and gave it to him at Christmas. It was actually a T-shirt with a slogan that said, education is important, but playing guitar is importanter. That is so true.
That's him to a T, in the best possible way. Yeah.
Yeah, so I had to do that. So I do tend to, I start thinking about it if I haven't planned everything well and truly in advance. Around October, I start thinking about it. And I don't, I mean, it's funny, I'm a bit of a hypocrite in some ways, I suppose, because I don't like it when we get all the Christmas adverts on TV way too early. I don't like it when the shops are putting Christmas trees up in September, you know, and all that sort of rubbish. I really don't like that. I think December, 1st of December.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. First of Advent, it's fine. You know, but having said that, by then I've often done all my Christmas shopping.
Well, yeah, and it's funny you say that, because my one big thing is the Christmas shopping, because, as I say, I don't have to plan for a Christmas lunch. I've been very fortunate. I've never had to organise anything like that, and I'm 40 years old. I've never had to do it. Suits me down to the ground. I'm a bit sheltered like that. But the present side of things, yeah, I mean, this year was the earliest I've ever done it. I actually did all my Christmas shopping before Halloween.
Right.
And the only reason I did it that early this year was because my boy and I were in quarantine because he's got COVID.
Right.
And so we were at home for 10 days, and there's obviously very little we can do. And so I was trying to keep him occupied and, you know, just keep him kind of bitty busy and finally having some downtime for him as well. And in his downtime, you know, I was starting to think, right, what am I doing for Christmas? What presents am I getting for who? And, you know, I get presents from my mum and dad and for Brian. And I was like, right, okay. And I'd written a list and I just thought, I could just do it now. So I did. Mm-hmm. And so all the presents arrived from Amazon or eBay, pretty much. And I was like, a couple I had to go out and physically get when quarantine was over. But 95% of it was done, wrapped and bagged up in these different piles by the time Halloween came around, and because our isolation finished then before Halloween. And so it was just done, and I thought, my God, I've never been, I'm a bit like you. You know, the 1st of December, yeah, start to get everything organised, start to prepare, you know, that's fine. But because we'd got this 10-day enforced downtime to a degree, you couldn't do as much.
Mm-hmm.
I had the time to do it, and it felt very nice, but also it felt a bit odd doing it before another festival had even happened, before Halloween, you know, I'd do trick-or-treating with Brian and all this. So it felt odd to be thinking about Christmas before I'd even done trick-or-treating with Brian. So I wouldn't necessarily do that next year because it is early. But it was nice to have done it now, if that makes sense.
It does. And there's two things that pop into my head, actually, after you saying that. The first thing is that I always used to get my Christmas shopping all done and dusted by the 1st of November. So same as you, you know, by Halloween, effectively, and which I know it's the 31st of October, you know, before anybody says anything. But the reason for that was because when I was doing NaNoWriMo, which is basically writing a novel in a month, in the month of November, and then that's it in a nutshell, I suppose. So I wanted to dedicate all my thoughts, you know, and focus completely on writing the novel and not have to think about Christmas shopping. So I used to get it done in October. But that's the first thing that popped into my head. The other thing is when you said about how weird it felt when celebrating or having dealt with one festival before another, the previous festival takes place.
Yeah.
That happened to me a few years ago because I don't know if you've ever seen Later with Jules Holland on TV.
Oh, yeah, the guy, he does all the Hogmanay.
That's it, yeah. Jules Holland's Hootenanny.
That Hootenanny, that's it, yes, I couldn't think of the name, yeah.
Well, that used to be recorded not very far from where I live. And so I've managed to get tickets a few times to go around to later with Jules Holland. And we actually got tickets for the Hootenanny one year. And I was, in my naivety, I used to think it was live on New Year's Eve because they do the countdown and everything. And it's not. It was recorded on the 6th of December. So we went round there and we were celebrating New Year, you know, and we were dancing and people were drinking. And I was dancing in the same sort of area as Rod Gilbert and Joe Brand. So that was a bit weird.
That's brilliant.
So we were really celebrating. We did the countdown and Happy New Year and all this kind of stuff. And we came out, when we came out of there after the recording finished, and I said, it's weird because it's not even Christmas yet. We celebrated New Year. So that felt really odd.
That is bizarre. Do you anything for New Year's now? Like, do you celebrate it?
Well, yes. I see the New Year in. And because I don't drink alcohol either, you know, so I'm such a boring, I'm a cheap date, I suppose. Yeah.
Neither do I, so between the two of us, we're great company.
Oh, absolutely. But I still like to be kind of involved and included. So I usually have a bottle of something fizzy, you know, sparkling non-alcoholic wine.
Yeah.
So I see the New Year in, certainly, at home nowadays. And I saw something on Facebook, I think it was a while ago, that said, when we were young, we used to sneak out of home to go to parties, and nowadays we sneak out of parties to go home, and that's me to a T, really.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I can remember in my 20s particularly, you know, I can remember the house parties, and sometimes I can remember going down with my parents one New Year's Eve to the local seafront, Borstow seafront, and we watched the fireworks. I think I was a teenager when that happened, and all that stuff, you know, waking up at some godforsaken time on New Year's Day, you crashed at somebody's house, and it all just seemed perfectly normal. And 20 years on from that, you know, I'm 40 now, I've got an excuse in that my son's 10, and I don't want to be dragging by now on a cold winter's night on the 31st of December to go and watch some fireworks in Broadstairs, because it's about a 20-minute walk from our front door, maybe a 30-minute walk. The buses would be a nightmare that time of night. So I just think, you know, Brian and I, we stay at home, New Year's Eve.
Well, I like your use of the word excuse there. I think that tells everything, really, doesn't it? Because, yeah, I don't feel inclined to go out and say nowadays. I do see the New Year in. I do like
it. I'll say up and, yeah, if Brian, first year I didn't, but I don't think he did last year, actually, but he is 10 now. I would be inclined to think, well, if he's capable of doing it, I would say, well, let's watch a late night film or something. You know, we'll get some popcorn and something daft and just break all the rules on New Year's Eve and sit under a blanket together and just watch a film. But, yeah, he might not make it. He might nod off. In which case, that's fine. I'll just watch a bit of TV by myself and then go to bed and do something over the weekend. You know, it's... it's not the end of the world. And it doesn't make us old, it just makes us sensible.
Well, yeah, I think I can't be asked to go out sometimes. No. I do go out sometimes, but
don't get me wrong, I'm not a party pooper, and I enjoy company, but I'm just as comfortable with company at home or in my own company at home.
Absolutely. I mean, as far as festivities and things are concerned, to sort of go back to the present buying, how easy or difficult do you find it to wrap presents as a dyspraxic person?
It is hard. I do find it quite complicated, because I have to go quite slow and steady, and especially if you get presents that are an awkward shape.
Oh, yes. Right, so apologies if it suddenly feels as though we've jumped to a slightly different subject, but Matthew had just given away exactly what he's bought his son for Christmas, so we had to make that down.
We're going to have a complete war on. But the point I was going to make when I actually just revealed a secret there that I wasn't meant to reveal, thank you, Barbara, also I bought Brian a present that is tube-like in shape. Well, the packaging is tube-like. That's the best as I can do. It sounds very odd, but that's what I can do. And trying to wrap it up, I tried everything. And in the end, I end up kind of doing it as a giant cracker. You know, I just got a large bit of roll, rolled the paper around it, and then just kind of like twisted the end so it looked like a giant cracker. And that's all I could do, because there's no way I was going to fold it up in any way neatly or tidily.
Yeah, I think we have to think on our feet a bit sometimes with presents, and aren't gift bags handy sometimes?
Oh, so much easier.
They really are. Now, having said that, I do, I'm not too bad at gift wrapping, because it is something I used to do as part of my job when, years ago, for my sins, briefly, I worked in a gift shop. So, would you like it gift wrapped, madam? It's part of my job. So,
In your head, you're hoping that they say no.
Well, no, I did kind of get reasonable at it, so it's not an issue. And nowadays, other members of the family get me to gift wrap things for them sometimes as well.
Okay.
Not all the time, but sometimes. So I don't mind it. I'm okay at that. So it's one of those old things about if you're dyspraxic, it doesn't mean that you can't do something. It means it might take a bit longer to learn and be a bit more difficult, but you get there at the end.
Well, one thing I found that it's a small thing. One thing that made it my life easier with mapping was getting a tape dispenser.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, absolutely.
I was trying to sort of hold the wrapping with one hand.
Yeah.
Get the sellotape off. It took me forever. Tape dispenser, best thing I ever did. Couple of quid from Amazon. It's brilliant.
Yeah, I always use a tape dispenser as well. And I've just had another thought, actually, a hint for anyone who is dyspraxic and a parent. I know sometimes we parents, obviously we know that Father Christmas exists. We know that as a fact.
Yeah.
But sometimes we help him out a little bit.
Yes,
he's got quite a job to do on Christmas Eve. So something I used to do on those occasions when I was helping Father Christmas was... stockings, you know, when your child goes to bed at night and they put their stocking out, and then they're excitedly, some unearthly hour of Christmas morning, they're having a rummage and there's a full stocking.
Yeah.
I always used to get identical stockings. So each of my boys had two stockings, so they didn't know it at the time. They'd have two identical stockings. One was absolutely full of stuff, which I stuffed when they were in bed. The other one was empty, and I would tiptoe into their room and quickly swap them over. And that way it meant I wasn't standing there filling a stocking with goodies, and that if they should wake up and, "Mum,
yeah,
what are you doing?" So I never encountered that. I used to just quickly swap them over and then beat a hasty retreat. So that's a useful tip, and I found that invaluable.
Yeah.
Makes your life easier.
Oh, hugely so. Hugely.
And, let's face it, we do like anything that makes things easier, don't we?
Oh, you know, I think that's, for me, certainly at Christmas time or events like that, why kind of like routine and the familiar is so important to me, because it's like I can then know what to predict to a certain degree. I know what's going to happen because it's familiar, it's predictable, it's what's planned.
Yeah.
It's, And Keith, I think, well, certainly my boy, he responds, he likes that familiarity. He likes that routine. He knows what to expect every year. That yeah. makes sense. And yeah. so that helps me that I know, okay, he's going to wake up at, last year it was about 4:30 in the morning. Yeah. He knows where his stocking's going to be. He knows, you know, he can come into my room, but just don't expect much conversation from me. You know, it's that kind of familiarity, I think, that does help. And it then lowers my own concerns and worries about how my dispatch is going to affect me at Christmas, because I think, well, last year I managed to do this. I coped with it well. So I will this year.
Yeah, absolutely.
That does help.
Just a word of warning, though, knowing that Brian's 10 now, for you to look forward to when he gets to the teenage years, because we did a massive about turn with the boys and me, because when they were small, obviously they were bounding into me at some unearthly hour. Oh, he's been, you know, can we go downstairs? Can we have an apparition? You know, all the excitement, which is totally understandable.
Oh, God.
I was like that myself when I was little. But then when they get older, it's... Oh, come on, boys, wake up. You know, come on. Look. Don't you want to come and open your presents? You know, I can't wait for them to open them.
Yeah.
So it does change. And now, of course, it's totally different because they're all grown up and they've all got their own lives to lead. So it's completely different. So we're going to have a very quiet Christmas day this year.
I think for me, you know, I imagine this is probably the same for all parents when their children are little and at home. I'm savouring these moments as much as I possibly can.
Yes.
This,
yes.
for me, is the stage when I will see Christmas through a child's eyes really, really effectively, really well.
Yeah.
And in a way, never again to the same level.
Well, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you can treasure them. I mean, I have to say, I'm not unhappy about it just being a nice, quiet, nice, you see, I put the word nice in there even without thinking about it, but a nice, quiet Christmas day, because I'm quite happy to just, right, okay, presents, lunch, ooh, lovely Christmas dinner, you know, and it's just, oh, I don't know, I just love it anyway. No, whatever kind of Christmas comes my way, I just love it. And something for me, which is thoroughly traditional, you're talking about knowing what to expect and having routine.
Mm.
Christmas Eve, I always, always love to sit down with a glass of mulled punch, or a cup rather, a mug of mulled punch.
Oh,
it used to be mulled wine, but I don't drink alcohol nowadays because I can't handle it anymore. Mm. You know, it just affects me in a way. I just don't feel comfortable. I only need the last time I had any alcohol was actually when I was on holiday with my mum last year, and she said, oh, I'll have some of my wine. Yeah, I have it. So I thought, okay, I'll just have a small. And I only had a couple of sips of this wine, literally, well, a few sips of this wine.
Mm.
And it immediately made me feel, I just don't like the way I feel. It's really odd, really odd. So I just can't seem, my system doesn't like alcohol anymore. It's as simple as that. But I still quite like it. So I do have the mulled punch, and I have the alcohol-free wine with dinner. Yes, I still do that because I still like the idea of drinking wine and the sparkling stuff on New Year's Eve and things like that. So I do still enjoy it. I drink alcohol-free cider as well.
Oh, okay.
Occasionally.
I know my dad sometimes has an alcohol-free beer because my dad doesn't really drink much alcohol or any alcohol these days. So, yeah, occasionally they have like a I can't remember, it's either low alcohol, no alcohol, Beck's or something, I think.
Right. I think we have to, you know, as a vegan as well, I have to be sort of careful that drinks I have are vegan.
Yeah,
I do. So it's all a bit of sifting. It does definitely take planning, there's no doubt about that, from that point of view. But like I said, if I get things sort of well in advance, things that aren't too perishable, then just get them in advance and gradually bit by bit, because certainly when the boys were small, we never had much money. And that's not to say I'm rolling in it now.
No, I know what you mean.
but we didn't have much money in those days. So it was much easier just to add something to the shopping. It would be something that keeps for a long time. And so by the time Christmas came, it was pretty much done. I only had a couple of extra bits to get. So that helps, definitely, you know, just add a bit now and again. So
yeah.
And I think that helped with the dyspraxia as well, because it didn't help with dyspraxia. I mean, as a dyspraxic, it helped me. That's really what I was trying to say.
Yeah, I agree. I think because I feel a certain amount of anxiety over Christmas in terms of, you know, is it going to be a nice, calm, chilled Christmas for me and for Brian? And it's you know, it's both of our responsibilities to make that happen. But yeah, as his dad, I can sort of set the tone for that. And I want to make sure I set the right tone for him that Christmas isn't about commercialism. It isn't about, you know, stacks and stacks and hundreds of presents or about, you know, being gluttonous and eating too much food. It's about having nice food and having nice presents, having time with family, you know,
yeah,
a few sweets and a few treats. That's fine. But trying to find a moderation for it. And it's funny, on the way to school this morning, this is a slight aside, he was actually talking about Christmas. He started the conversation. And I said to him, what are your top things that you're looking forward to for Christmas, Brian? And he actually did say, presents, chocolate, family time, in that order. So I'm not doing a brilliant job because he's still putting but, you know, he's 10 years old, so I'd almost worried if he didn't say presents and chocolate in a way.
Exactly. Give yourself a break. Yeah, that's pretty normal.
But then he did say, number three, he did say family time. So I was like, well, I'll take that. Family time, yeah, is on the list. That's
great. And I think also, especially in this day and age with the technology that we have, FaceTiming family if you can't be with them as, yeah, well, you know, sort of family members. We have FaceTime, and there are other video calls available, obviously, you know, messenger video and stuff. So it's easy to keep in contact with people now. And actually, on that score, I will give some Christmas cards to neighbours and that sort of thing. I will give out some Christmas cards. But I love the online Jackie Lawson. There probably are available, I don't know. But the Jackie Lawson Christmas cards, I love those. I think they're so... Yeah. Gorgeous, you know, and it's a bit they're a bit sort of twee and whimsical, but I really like that.
Yeah,
so I do give those, and it's easy to just send a message nowadays. I think Christmas cards are becoming a little bit outdated because they used to be to keep in touch with people, but we don't actually need them for keeping in touch now, do we?
I haven't done I do two Christmas cards every year, one to my mum and dad because it's important to them, so I respect that. Mm-hmm. And one to my son. And the reason is, not because I don't care about people, but because you can buy a pack of Christmas cards now for, you know, cheaper ones for a quid or a couple of quid. You're not expensive.
Yeah.
But I've always made this promise, for some years now, that I'll always put maybe a fiver or something away, a fiver or a tenner, and that money I think, that's my quote-unquote Christmas card money. And so... rather than buy Christmas cards with it, I'll give it to a local charity, to a food bank. I'm not being virtuous here. I'm not virtue signaling, anything like that, but I give it to a local charity. My only stipulation is it has to be a local charity, not a national, but a local charity that does local things for people in my area, in my community. And I do that every year. I choose a different one every year, and that's my little thing that I do. And I'm not saying that to be virtuous or isn't anyone. I'm saying because it's true. That's what I do. I'd rather not buy the cards. I'd rather give that to something that can actually do some good.
Absolutely.
I think
it's important. Charities do sort of come to mind, and I think people care more at Christmas. It's just a shame that we can't continue that all the year round. And I don't mean you, obviously.
No, but yeah, generally, yeah. It
does, you know, I think that people do care more at Christmas. There's no doubt about it. People do consider others a bit more, and it would be so nice if we could just extend that to the rest of the year.
Yeah, oh, I agree. Yes, absolutely. Well, in fact, I work for a children's charity that's based in Kent, and yeah, the amount of donations we get at Christmas, far in terms of kind of like local stuff, does far exceed what we might get locally the rest of the year. That's not a criticism of anyone, because actually it's wonderful that people think of us that are giving
us
money. You know, but I was saying the other day, I said, God, you know, if we had kind of these charitable giving times at several points in the year and people sustain that level of giving throughout the year to us, oh my goodness, wouldn't we be lucky as a charity?
Absolutely.
Now that's not to sound, that's not to be ungracious, that's not to not be, yeah, grateful for what they've given, but it's like, wow, thank you, that's brilliant.
Yeah, Yeah, it's good to see humanity shining through.
Yes.
And I think on that happy note, the two dyspraxics would like to wish all our listeners a very, very happy Christmas.
And a lovely new year.
Yes, a happy new year indeed. So it's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from me.
Bye.
Bye.